Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
June is here.
It is. I kept writing May on the post yesterday. It was really bad.
Yeah, I kept typing 06 or 05 in a lot of files this last week.
That was happening too. So I apologize if posts don't work. I think I caught it all.
June is here. That means the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness is rolling into mailboxes soon. And what a theme this month.
It's relevant for you, at least.
You know,
not really for me.
I think it is. Really do. It's called the theme this month, Men at Church. And a number of topics on men and our vocations and how we relate to women, how we relate to children, our relationships to children, to women, and our vocations, our given vocations. Good stuff this month, addressing topics that, frankly, we don't often talk about. And I gather, you know, with Father's Day coming up in June, maybe that's another reason we take a look at some of these topics. Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Dr. Joel Bierman. He's a professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, has a number of books, including Courageous Fathers of the Bible and Fatherhood, and author of The End of Fatherhood in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. Dr. Bierman, thanks for joining us on the Coffee Hour this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So you tackle this this vocation of fatherhood, the end of fatherhood, and the title was kind of tricky. I was like, wait, do they mean that fatherhood is no more? And I had to dig in, and then I was, oh, okay.
This they gotcha. Tricky,
this sneaky. Where or how did you learn about fatherhood, this vocation of fatherhood?
Well, I learned first, obviously, from my own father, who raised me in a Christian home. My dad is a pastor, so I grew up watching him, serving those around him and trying to follow Christ in his life. So I learned a lot just from him, not even thinking about it. It just happened by what I saw by example. Learned a lot from my father-in-law as I got to know him and my wife and through that connection. And I've learned a lot, actually, just by reading and studying and thinking more about vocation, purpose of life, what we're here for. Reading a lot of Luther has helped sharpen my understanding of what it means to be a father and what it's all about.
So in your article, you bring up a good Greek word. I always like it when there's there's Greek in these articles. The word telos. Can you explain what that word means, especially in the context of vocation?
Yeah, it's the Greek used the word telos simply to mean end or purpose or target. It's the thing that is the goal behind something or the reason for something. So when you are doing some kind of project, you have a telos in mind. It's what the end result is supposed to be. And so that's the Greek word. I like it because I think it conveys a little bit more than just, there's no real good straight up English equivalent. You know, purpose, target, okay, but telos kind of gives it a more of a sense of this is what it's all about. This is the whole reason for doing something. And so then I'm thinking about fatherhood. What is the end of fatherhood? What's the whole point of it? You know, are we here just to fulfill one purpose as raise a couple of kids, you know, father a couple of kids? What's it all about? What is the goal? When a father looks back and says, okay, did I achieve the goal? What should he be looking at? What is the standard? What's it all about?
And that tell us that vocation, it's not just putting food on the table, is it? It incorporates much more than that.
Well, that's kind of the idea. It's certainly providing for the material and the psychological and the physical needs of your children. But I would argue that if you think about what God has actually said in Scripture and what we are actually taught by the church, it becomes kind of clear that boils down to two main things that really drive what we should be thinking about as fathers. One is, where are my children at with their relationship with God? Do they know who their Creator is? Do they know what Christ has done for them? Are they walking with Christ? Are they trusting Him? Are they going to be participating in Christ's fulfillment when He returns in glory? In other words, are they going to go to heaven? Are they going to be part of the salvation? I want my children with me in eternity. So that's the number one thing I think a father should always be thinking about. And then I would also contend, though, that there's another aspect which we don't maybe realize from a Christian standpoint, which is also very important, is we want our children to grow up to be what God intended and created them to be, which means active participants in this world, people who are serving well those around them, using the gifts they've been given, the talents they've been given, to accomplish what God would have them do in this world. So that means we want to raise our children to have, I would put it as, strong and good character to know who they are and how they're supposed to be treating others. So there's sort of a twofold aspect that should be driving everything, every choice I make as a father. Are my children being led closer to Christ by whatever is going on? Are my children being cultivated in their character and in their understanding of who they are as God's creatures and their service to the world around them? And those things should drive everything we do as fathers.
You mentioned earlier that studying the scriptures helped you learn about this vocation of fatherhood. What do the scriptures teach us regarding God's expectations of fathers?
Well, you know, scripture gives us a clear command. The fourth commandment is, you know, honor your father and mother. All right, well, that seems like something kids should do. But then it turns it around by saying that fathers aren't supposed to exasperate their children. Fathers are supposed to raise their children in the admonition and the fear of the Lord. We're supposed to be instilling in our children the things we have learned, passing these things along. So there's actually quite a bit more in the Bible than we might realize about what exactly fathers should be doing. And most of it zeroes in on forming and shaping those children to know and to follow God's reality, which is sort of how I'm trying to get at by boiling it down to this kind of twofold purpose of a vertical relationship with God and a horizontal relationship with the rest of the world. And those are the key driving things that show up again and again in the Bible is passing this along to our children, forming and shaping them so they know these realities and are living and walking in them.
You reference Luther, and you mentioned that earlier as well, Luther's understanding of fatherhood. How did Luther's understanding of fatherhood shape what we believe and teach and confess regarding the vocation of fathers and parents today?
Yeah, Luther's own experience with fatherhood is very interesting. His relationship with his father was challenging at times, and his own dad wanted him to become an attorney. We know that story pretty well after going through last fall's Reformation celebrations. We've got a lot of Luther in our minds. But he ended up joining the monastery against his father's will, and then repented of that, and then looked to his father later and said, "You're right, Father. You're right. My most important task was actually to be an obedient son, and I didn't do that." And so that really sobered his evaluation of the importance, I think, of the father-son relationship. So then when Luther himself became a father a little later in life when he married and started raising children, he delighted in it and loved his children, loved the interactions he had with them, and it profoundly shaped, I think, all of his theology, just this reality of what it meant to raise children and to form them in the Christian faith. And so then he wrote about this, and one of the most explicit areas where this shows up is in the Large Catechism, where he's writing about the Fourth Commandment. And he spends quite a bit of time in there talking about how children should be submissive and obedient and show honor and how that applies also to other servants. But then at the very end of that section in the Large Catechism, he also says, no, a word to parents. And here he just lays it on the line that parents have an absolute responsibility before God to raise their children well. They're accountable to God for how they do that. And this is this heavy responsibility. So I think Luther's own experience of being a son and his relationship with his father and then raising his own children, I think that impacted him profoundly. And he was not afraid to teach this and make it very clear that this fatherhood task is vitally important. It's not just a little add-on or sort of a sub-purpose of your life. It is a driving purpose.
You mentioned in the context of the Fourth Commandment, obedience of children. For adult children who aren't necessarily fathers yet, are there ways that adult children can help support their fathers to be faithful in this vocation of fatherhood?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's interesting is we never outgrow our relationships. The dynamics of them certainly change. The relationship of a father to an infant is different than one to a toddler or a grade schooler or a high schooler or to an adult, but we're always a father and a son or a father and a daughter. That relationship never changes. And we need to pay attention to that and realize that there is a responsibility and a beauty that's going on there. So an adult son can show deference still to his father. It doesn't mean necessarily that he's asking his father for permission to do things. He's responsible to God for his own actions, but he will always show an honor and a respect and a deference to his father that should pervade things. frankly, a lot of other cultures get this better than our own. And in the West, we've gotten rather individualistic and rather casual about the ideas of roles or responsibilities or even authority hierarchies. We want everybody to kind of be the same, first-name basis sort of stuff. But in a lot of Eastern cultures, the idea of the father is always paramount. And even adults, children, will always defer to the father and show that honor and respect. And that's part of that sense of, this father has such a responsibility, I want to respect that. But the father then needs to make sure that he's not just presuming on that inherent respect, but actually acting in a way that deserves it and supports that and serves the children well.
We have just about a minute left, and reading the article, as I shared earlier with Sarah, it's somewhat convicting. The weight of this vocation is sometimes daunting and even overwhelming when we realize what's at stake here.
Yeah.
What help or hope is there for fathers when they fail in their vocation?
Well, the great news is we have a father in heaven who has loved us perfectly in Christ, and he knows our failings and our shortcomings. No man's perfect. And no one's telling us we have to be perfect. We are supposed to keep striving to be more what God calls us to be, recognizing our limitations, recognizing also the grace we have in Christ. So when we fall flat, and we will, we turn to Christ and we receive from him our forgiveness, and our Father picks us up and sends us again, and we emulate him and keep on going forward.
The Reverend Dr. Joel Bierman, Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, author of The End of Fatherhood in the June-July issue of The Lutheran Witness. Thanks so much, Dr. Bierman, for being our guest in the Coffee Hour today.
My pleasure.
That was, reading that was, it really hit home, because certainly some of the things that I have been thinking about as the father of a 4-year-old and thinking, you know, there's a lot at stake. What do I want my son to learn in the coming years, and how do I want to go about helping be a teacher, a father, and formative? So it's good. I really wish, there's a whole book on that. There is.
There is. You should go read it.
I should go read it.
Add that to your list.
boy. Good stuff coming up. Missouri Association for Creation tomorrow.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff coming up this week. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.